Kiwanis Club eats Thursdays at the St. James Hotel in Red Wing, hometown of the famous boots and crockery jars. Today's menu is ham and cheese, tomato soup, and romantic poetry. Colorado professor Jeffrey Robinson's been working on a book at Tower View for 3 weeks. One condition of his stay is that he read to the club. Percy Shelley, William Blake, Thomas McGrath.
The vegetables please us with their modes and virtues. The demure heart of the lettuce inside its circular court, baroque ear of quiet under its rustling house of lace, pleases us. And the bold strength of the celery, its green Hispanic shout, its exclamatory confetti.
Robinson professes poetry to the Kiwanians for 28 minutes, 16 seconds. It's true a few members sitting in back are actually counting, but most, like Lorraine Halverson, don't want it to end.
I enjoyed it a whole lot. I found I'll never think of cabbages the same again, and I'm not all that familiar with Anderson Center, only that good things are happening out there.
What's been happening here for a long time, since long before it became the Anderson Center, is a spicy goulash of art, science, and history. In 1876, a 13-year-old farm boy gave water and directions to seven horseback strangers looking for Northfield. The riders were the James and Younger gang, whose fortunes were about to dip. The boy was Alex P. Anderson, who would ascend to fame as a scientist and inventor, and who would offhandedly describe his encounter with the outlaws in an essay about Silurian fossils, an odd fusion typical of Anderson. Raised a farmer, he studied phrenology, the eccentric science of reading character by feeling the bumps of the skull. Later, as a botany professor, he researched tornadic winds. He was a poet and memoirist who published a 600-page collection of his work, yet is remembered for what happened in this room, a marriage of steam and grain that produced America's breakfast.
The huge steam machines with pulleys and that sort of thing commanded most of the room. And then when the explosion would occur, the air would fill with puffed wheat or puffed rice.
During his experiments, says Anderson's grandson, Robert Hedin, this lab sounded like a battlefield, smelled like a bakery, and looked like a snowy morning. At the time, breakfast cereal was new, and the nation was entranced by its supposed health and spiritual benefits. Quaker Oats bought the rights to the puffing process, advertising its new cereal as the eighth wonder of the world. Anderson got rich, but not predictable. He wrote poems about Beethoven and singing electrons, sermons on success, epic fables about pocket gophers. He was interested in everything.
The spirit of Tower View is a spirit that is very deeply rooted, and it is rooted in the sciences, it is rooted in the arts, it is rooted in the generosity of spirit.
In 1973, 30 years after Anderson's death, his heirs deeded the property to the Red Wing School District. The district held classes here, established an alternative high school, and in 1992 decided to vacate. It was then that Hedin, himself a poet and teacher, proposed creating the Anderson Center.
I have worked on the university level for some 25 years, and I know too well the kinds of specializations and the kinds of fragmentations that have occurred in our universities. I know that artists do not necessarily talk to other artists, and artists certainly don't talk to their scientific colleagues. It seemed only natural to try to rectify or to reconcile that kind of chasm.
In result, a visitor to Anderson's opulent home might hear Phyllis Golden's improvisational jazz, or Jeffrey Robinson's theories on visionary poetics, or a lecture on archaeology or medicine, might walk into the lab where Anderson puffed his rice, and stumble onto Art Norby's emerging bronze sculpture of a Korean War GI.
I created him in the full combat gear. If you get 10 to 15 feet away from him, because of his great height, you'll be looking him right in the eye and you'll see a very, very intense countenance.
Norby's design was chosen as Minnesota's official Korean War memorial. It'll be mounted at the state capitol in September, making it the most high-profile production at Tower View since the serial. But most residents aren't working on anything so public, and in fact, word about the center has only begun to spread. The center doesn't offer cash grants, trips, or publication, only time and a quiet place to work. Jazz composer Phyllis Golden says it's enough.
I'm actually here for a whole month, which to me is a gift beyond belief. I'm able to get beyond boredom. In other words, to be redundant to the point where I have to get to something new. And that's only possible if you've got the time to do it.
After 3 years operating under the Red Wing School District, the Anderson Center has raised enough funding to support itself. But for all its energy and small successes, the center is still an experiment, a mixture, says Robert Hedin, such as Anderson himself would have liked.
I admire him a great deal, and I don't think that I will ever be able to attain that kind of complexity. But if you take all of the kinds of people who are here and put them together, you might come up with that spirit of A.P. Anderson.
Robert Hedin. This is Leif Anger from Main Street Radio.